Hey everybody, welcome to Matt and Dory's Excellent Adventure. I'm Matt.
I'm Dory.
And we have got a show for you.
We do?
Yeah, I suppose.
I mean, we do have a show.
This is it.
This is it.
Hope you like it. I brought it from you. What?
How's
is this? Is this a leftover update in the rundown here?
Yes.
Thank goodness. Because I was like, did we go again?
No. I belatedly deleted it, but figured I didn't need to resend the email to you.
And here I am, bringing it up.
Yep.
While lifting the curtain.
No one needs another update on our Austin trip, because
if you didn't hear last week's, check your feed. I know we didn't come out on Sunday night like we always do. We popped out on a Monday. You know, sometimes we're going to take that holiday.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, so we did. Anyway, we're back.
We are back. Henry and I went to a birthday party this morning. Two of his classmates had like a joint birthday party.
Love it. Knock it out.
Knock it out.
Like, is there anybody around Henry's birthday we could also knock some parties out with?
You know, weirdly, no.
Right? He's sort of like left in the middle there.
Yeah. Even like the mommy and me class that we did, which doesn't have any kids from his school, so I feel like right. We wouldn't really do that anyway. But even in that one, he, like, most of the kids were in like mid to late May. So like 3-ish weeks. There were like 3 kids with my birthday in that class.
I feel like your birthday is somehow popular.
I know, it's weird. It was never popular when I was a kid. Just want to say that.
Well, you know, what is that statistic of birthdays?
I know. Something like if you have 25 people in the room, there's like some chance of 2 of them having the same birthday.
You don't come here for math.
Anyway, we went to this birthday party. He was having a blast. And then it came time for the cake. They had this really cool like rainbow cake with, you know, stuff coming out of it. I don't know. It was very cool. It was good. I had some. And then all of a sudden, Henry's like, Mama, I need a hug. I'm like, okay. I give him a hug and he's like, my tummy hurts. And I'm like, oh no.
I mean, I think it's partially my fault.
Why?
Because, you know, for breakfast he had half a loaf of challah, you know, and then he had the top of a blueberry muffin.
Yeah, I did think maybe there wasn't enough substantial like, in his stomach, because
I was like, bud, this is not gonna work for you.
At the birthday party he had half a bagel with cream cheese, he had an applesauce pouch and a couple pieces of fruit.
He's, you know, look, he likes to carbo load.
Yeah, so he probably didn't have enough like protein in his stomach, and I'm like trying to get him in the bathroom, which of course was completely on the other side of the rather large space. I'm like sprinting, holding him, and he starts throwing up on me.
Well, I think that's the lesson there is just keep your children inside. If they never leave home, they're not going to throw up in random places.
No, I mean, I think the lesson is like when he threw up at his own birthday party,
Yes. The
bathroom was right next to where they had cake. So it was very easy to
clean up. So your recommendation is that everybody should have their birthday cakes next to a bathroom.
Yes. That is my recommendation going forward.
It's not a bad thing, but do we think now that Henry's just the kid that throws up?
I think he's the kid that throws up from cake, because it has happened several times.
Yeah, it's interesting.
One of the other moms texted me. She was like, is Henry okay? I was like, yes, thank you. Like, you know, this happens with cake.
You're not going to believe this.
And then
it's cake.
Her kid is having a birthday party in a couple weeks. I was like, I will restrict his cake intake at your child's birthday.
God bless him. You know, I wish I had some sort of cake reflex.
Honey.
You know, where I was just like, too much cake.
Yeah.
There's no part of my body that says too much cake. We went out last night.
Didn't
even make it to the cake.
No, we didn't. I was thinking about that. We missed like the happy birthday, but like both of us were really fading.
We're old.
To be fair,
granted, we're not as old as the.
I was just going to say the birthday boy was older. It was a 50th birthday party, and us youngins. Well, you're really the youngin. You're not even 40.
Not yet.
We're like, we gotta go home.
It was also like loud in there, which, you know, as it should have been.
It was at a bar.
Because it was a bar, and it was just like every other bar I've ever been in my life, but like I haven't just been in a bar for.
And they had rented out the whole bar, so great. it wasn't beautiful super party. Crowded, and the bar was really nice.
Photo booth was excellent.
I got Matt to do the photo booth, which honestly, I was shocked you said yes.
Well, you know, part of me was like, you know, if I don't get to like have like, because Aaron, or the birthday boy, Aaron, was running around, you know.
Yeah, we said hi to him for like 5 seconds.
And I was just like, what if I never get to talk to him?
Yeah.
How's he going to know I was here?
Yeah.
And then when you suggested the photo booth, I was like, physical evidence. Smart.
Yeah, we did the photo booth. We each had a drink.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, wow. We had
a vodka cranberry, like a young lady.
I had a cider, a can of cider. It was a tall boy. I didn't finish it. I was like, this is a lot of cider.
Well, it's like I had that and then went out to the food truck, which was also generously provided because Aaron's husband knows how to throw a party. And got a Diet Coke.
You did.
I was like, you so excited that there was Diet Coke there. I'm so lame.
You know what, though? It did make me want to have a birthday party. Not that birthday party, but...
You need... So, 46th?
Yeah, 45 plus one.
I see. All right. We'll see what we can do. Why don't you just wait till my 40th?
Because you don't want to have a party.
And we'll throw a combined.
You don't want a party.
I wouldn't mind a party.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, this is news to me.
Do I have to, like, leave the house for it?
I mean, our house isn't really set up for a party.
You're right. We shouldn't have a party then.
See what I'm dealing with, everybody?
Well, I mean, look.
All right. You're giving me some ideas.
I want to go to Scotland and play golf, in all honesty, but, like, also, like, I don't.
Yeah.
Because it's so far away.
It is rather far away. Rather far away.
It's like I would be the only one golfing.
Yeah.
Is there fun there? I don't know.
You could try to get like a trip together with some of your golfing buddies.
Yes.
And then we could do something separately.
I could absolutely try to do that. Like, maybe I'll talk to them about
it. I think that's
it.
What my brother was planning. Like,
yeah, and then 2020 happened.
Right, but it wasn't like he was planning a family trip to Scotland. Like, he was planning a trip with his golf friends.
Yes, but I would never dream of asking for such a luxury.
I would be happy to give it to you.
Unlike Michael, I don't.
I would be, you know what?
I don't escape to fish shows.
You know what? I would like you to actually be a tad less selfless.
Rude. That was very selfish of you to ask.
In fact, I think that would be good practice for you.
I couldn't even. Like, this morning when you started walking out of the house to take him to the birthday party.
Yeah.
And, like, didn't even ask me to go. I was like...
Oh.
What's happening?
I assumed that you had no interest in coming.
I mean, honestly, if you had just asked, I would have gone.
Really?
But did I have any interest in going? Not particularly.
Interesting. All right. This is good information.
But like also, by the way, I was like so ecstatic.
You were lying down on the couch and you literally said, oh, I get to relax.
That was just with you taking the dog out.
Oh.
That was, and then by the time, I don't know if you noticed, but by the time you had come back, I was in real pants and shoes.
Okay.
But when you left, I was like, sweet.
Yeah, exactly.
And then.
Now, granted. Granted, when Henry threw up, it would have been nice to have you there.
Sure. I'm great at cleaning up throw up.
I like rushed out of there.
You rolled in and was like, Dita, I choked up.
Yeah, because
But I got this bag. And then he like dumped out his
little
party,
goodie bag.
His goodie bag.
Yeah, because he got to change into new clothes in the car because I had a change of clothes for him in the car. I had to drive home in puke clothes.
I would have thought, here's what I would have imagined, although it's pretty big, so I get why you didn't. Like, I would have thought you would have thrown on my black Travis Matthew hoodie that's in the car.
You know, my my both my jacket and my shirt had throw up on them.
Yeah, yeah.
So like I just was like, you know what, I just want to get home and take all these clothes off. Henry was very sad that I didn't have extra clothes with me, like in my bag.
But I'm surprised he didn't insist you go over to Nordstrom or whatever, Nordstrom Rack.
Well, I had, you know, when he saw that I had clothes in the car, he was very pleased. And then I was like, I need a change of my clothes in the car. Mm. So, which I'd been meaning to do anyway for like prepper purposes.
You know what? I could muster it. If like I got into some sort of terrible clothing mishap.
Yeah.
I could put together an outfit from what's in my car right now. Yeah.
I'm like, now I'm also thinking I should put an extra pair of shoes in the car.
I could do that too.
Because like the only reason he didn't throw up on my shoes is because we had to take our shoes off.
So you threw up on your socks?
Indoor play space. Yeah. So I'm like running around in my sock.
Gross.
Like, it was just not great. It was not great. And then we left his water bottle there because like it was like a flurry to get out.
Again.
But
I cannot go another, to Austin, Texas. No. Another
One of the moms who was hosting the party grabbed it for me. I texted her. I was like, "Are you fucking you?
Oh,
can you get Henry's water bottle?" And he was like, "Is she gonna bring it to me?" I was like, "No, she's not gonna bring it to you right now. She's gonna bring it to school." And he was like, "Why?" And I was like, "But you know what? I actually said this to my sister. I was like, you're making me think we need more water bottles for Henry. They had like 20 water bottles between like the two girls. And I was like,
well,
maybe Henry needs more water bottles.
Yeah, I guess it wouldn't hurt.
Yeah,
he has enough water bottles. He just chooses which bottles he wants to be using.
I know.
Which is the problem.
Yeah. So anyway, chaotic morning. Fun and then chaotic. And then he napped pretty hard, I think, because he was just exhausted.
He also got up. Did you hear him?
I heard him at like 5:20.
Really?
Yes.
Because he didn't yell for me till 6.
I know. That's his new thing now. But he was up and he was playing his Yodo.
I heard him singing.
Yeah.
Babies all over the world.
Your favorite, Dita's favorite song.
Dita, it's your favorite song. And now I'm like, does he think that's my favorite song?
Yes,
he does. In general, like of all songs, of all time?
Well, I think you told him that.
I was like, no, it's my favorite song on that.
I think you told him it was, I think you told him it was your favorite song, which, you know, he doesn't understand sarcasm. He was really excited to play it for his babysitter last night.
He was.
He was like, Katie, come in here. I need to play you my song. She was like, oh.
I was looking for that card.
This is great. All right. Well, we should take a break.
Okay. Thanks to Caspar Baby Pants for writing babies all over the world. Okay. We'll be right back.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Are you ready to get active? Well, think Bombas. The better basics that take sweat-wicking, blister-preventing, friction-free movement seriously. Look, they finally admitted it. It's in the ad copy. Golfing is among the activities that Bombas is proud to be a part of. And nearly every time I golf, Bombas socks are a part of my golf game. In fact,
same today, for tennis. Same for tennis, Matt.
I had to wear the high ones today because it was 37 degrees.
Wow. I bet you loved those soft, breathable materials.
I loved literally everything about them, including their fun bluish green color. Look, nice. I've been talking about Bombas forever, guys. Socks, underwear, t-shirts are the number one, two, and three most requested items in homeless shelters. And that's why for every comfy item you purchase, Bombas donates another comfy item to someone experiencing homelessness. Performance socks are made with technically advanced features like proprietary hex tech. Oh, that makes sense now that the hex is stitched in there. Mm-hmm. Oh, it incorporates sweat wicking.
See, the light bulb's going off.
Ah, supportive strategic zone cushioning, built-in ventilation to increase airflow. Bombas are a gym bag staple that are made to last and a golf bag staple. And if they experience any wear or tear, Bombas will replace them for life. I didn't know that.
Wow.
Hold the phone.
Wow.
But I was like, I got to get some socks replaced. And then I realized none of them are in need of replacement. Their performance socks are very colorful and comfortable, and you'll want to wear them even when you're not working out or hitting the links. No matter how you like to get active, Bombas has something for you. Gripper socks to help you stay balanced in Pilates and bar, or Dory's dad, whose favorite thing is socks that have grippers on the bottom. Left, right foot contoured running socks give you perfect fit that won't slide in your shoe. Merino wool socks keep you comfy and supported all day while on the course, baby. Bombas has a 100% happiness guarantee. That means you're covered for life. Reach out anytime. Their happiness team will help facilitate easy returns, exchanges, or replacements. Go to bombas.com/adventure. Use the code adventure for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/adventure and use the code adventure at checkout. Hi, we're back.
Hello. Before we hear from listeners, let's just remind everyone to please email us at doryandmatt@gmail or mattanddory@gmail and call or text us at 413-461-BABY. All right. This is from our pal, Anonymous. My husband, she said, I posted in the Facebook group, but figured I'd give the world's slowest message board a try as well. That's funny. Okay. My husband and I have a 2-year-old free sex baby, but haven't had success after 7 months of trying for baby number two. I'm 3 years older than the first time we conceived, 36 now. So I'm wondering, are my eggs just too old now? My husband recently had a semen analysis. Everything came back good there. I've been using ovulation strips and I'm ovulating every month on schedule. Do people with infertility due to diminished ovarian reserve typically get positive ovulation strips every month? Is it likely that the last 7 eggs I've popped out have all just been old and bad? I've been listening to the pod for years after hearing you guys on another pod, Committed, I think, but I'm new to the whole trouble conceiving thing, so don't know where to start. I have an appointment with my OB next week, so I'm sure he will point me in the right direction, but just wondering if you guys or the eggheads have any insight or advice in the meantime. Thanks, Anonymous, in DFW, one toddler, one husband, one dog, 2,000 square feet with 2 TVs, 1 40-inch, and 1 a little bigger, no hot dogs. I don't think your eggs are too old. They are older, but they're not too old. I mean, people conceive, you know, at 36 and later.
I'm trying to remember. My grandmother, my mother's mother, let's see, she passed away. She was 80. And this was in like 90, I want to say 95. So my mother was 43. Yeah, so my grandmother had my mother when she was like
37.
Yeah.
Which at the time,
it's crazy,
was very old.
Yeah.
My great grandmother had my great.
If that math is wrong, my mother will tell us. Don't worry.
My great grandmother, Bertha.
Great name.
Had my great uncle, Jordan.
Okay.
When she was 39.
Wow.
In 1939.
Oh, that's why you can remember that.
Yeah, but also because he's still alive. He's my grandfather's brother, and my grandfather was 17 years older than him.
Jesus.
So it was like My grand, yeah, so my grandfather and his sister were born, I think, within like 3 years of each other in like 1921 or something. My grandfather was born.
Also, my mother was the older sister.
Oh, so your grandmother had another kid. Wow. Interesting.
Pretty crazy stuff happening.
That is. How old was she when she got married, your grandmother? Do you know?
That's a great question, and I don't know the answer.
Like, I wonder if she got married young and they, like, tried for years and couldn't get pregnant, or if she got married, quote-unquote, old.
This is a great question. I don't know.
I'm wondering. I wonder.
Regina?
As Henry would say. This is interesting. Yeah, but I guess when my great-grandmother had my uncle, it was, like, shocking.
Yeah?
Yeah.
I feel like Irish households.
But they're not Irish.
I know. But I feel like in Irish households, old moms were common because they would also be young moms.
Yes. Like my friend Kara Doherty, who was the youngest of eight.
Right.
In high school, her oldest sibling was like 40 or something.
Right.
Yeah. I feel like those days are like, you don't see that many huge Catholic families anymore. I feel like now you see, like, on Instagram, you see, like, the big Mormon families.
Yeah, I feel like Mormons and
Orthodox Jews.
And
but they're not on Instagram as much.
Evangelicals.
Oh, yes, evangelicals. Totally.
Yeah.
Okay, so.
And Ron in Karen Crow, Louisiana.
Who wrote in this week?
Wow.
So Anonymous. My one piece of advice for you, actually, would be to tell your OB that you've been trying for a year. Because some OBs are still, like, weird about the whole, like, how long have you been trying thing and won't refer you unless you've been trying for a year, which is, like, so silly. But, I would just, you know, make that little white lie.
Mm. Interesting.
That's all I would say. Okay, Matt, there is a voicemail.
Yes, there is. Here it comes.
Hey, Matt and Dory. It's Phoebe. Remember me? I'm a frequent caller based just outside of Boston and Revere. Our science baby was born via emergency C-section on Thanksgiving, so she's probably 8.5 weeks by the time this airs. It was not the birth I had hoped for, but she's healthy and I'm healed, so I really can't complain. But a few weeks ago, I started displaying some signs of postpartum depression and postpartum anxiety. My husband thought first I didn't see it until I basically had a breakdown. I talked to my doctor. I started on Lexapro last Friday, but it's going to take a few weeks to kick in. And my anxiety is particularly bad in the mornings, like before she wakes up or as the sun is setting, kind of dreading how long it'll take to get her to go down and how many times I'm going to be woken up overnight. I also just have a really hard time when she cries, which she does often because she's been in a really fussy phase, which I think she's coming out of, but it's just been a really hard few weeks. I should mention that in addition to the meds, we got a snoo. We've moved her out of our room because I was waking up with every noise she was making. We had postpartum doulas come a few nights over this past week so I could get some sleep. But I can't nap during the day because I just can't relax enough to be able to do that. So, I wanted to get your advice. I have little community in Boston, so I'm just having this baby. It's made it really hard not having any family around, and friends who can really come over to help. And my husband went back to work briefly, right. So I've asked him to stop working so he can be home with me. But then I just feel like I'm trapping him in this, like, house in this terrible gray weather.
The baby's trapping
him all day, and it's really, really tough. So I think, Matt, you suffer from anxiety. I just wanted to ask if you had any tips on how to manage these kind of panic attacks or anxiety-ridden times before this medication kicks in. I've had one Costco hot dog this year. I couldn't even enjoy it because I was so stressed.
That's some stress.
And I needed to, like, get her out of there before she started crying.
Hot dog and
Dory, I picked up Thanks for Waiting from a small feminist bookstore in Assembly Square, and I'm really excited to read it once I get some time back in my life. Love you guys. Thanks a lot. Bye.
Thank you for calling in. Look, Phoebe, this is all you're just feeling everything, and it's okay. You're not feeling anything that no one else feels, but you're just experiencing it at a more emotional level. And the anxiety of, like, how long will it take the kid to go to bed? And, oh God, the kid's almost going to wake up. Those are just there. Congratulations. Welcome. Mm-hmm. It's you'll accept it, and it will become part of your life. You're not trapping your husband. The baby's trapping your husband and you. Congratulations on that also. I would seriously recommend meditation to, particularly for the moments where, like, if she does go down for a nap during the day, that would be when I would start meditating. Also, you know, I would do it in the morning too, if you're somehow up before her. Like, you know, there's a few. I use Simple Habit and Calm. Like, neither one was good enough on its own for me. Those are the two apps that I use. And to get, like, a good sleep nap going, I prefer Simple Habit. And it sounds like that's what you need. And there's quite a few, like, there are meditations specifically for feeling onsets of panic attacks coming. Mm. Which are handy, have been handy in the past for me. But again, don't feel bad about anything that you're feeling. And, you know, your husband knows it's not your fault.
Yeah.
I assume. We all, let's just really direct all of our annoyances towards the baby. That's it. It's so, I mean, I would also, if you can do that, get that postpartum night doula in there.
Yeah, that will help.
A couple more times especially as you're waiting for the meds to regulate.
Yeah, I think that's all
these
good
are,
advice.
These are my advices.
I think that's really good advice.
Make it a ritual. Make your relaxing a ritual, you know?
Yeah.
Whether it be the same tea every night.
Oh, I like that.
Or the, you know, the same 15 pages of Thanks for Waiting.
The same 15 pages?
Yeah, it's just the part of the ritual. Just assume she'll be, go through so much stress, she'll be like, I better start this over again. And don't feel bad about not enjoying a Costco hot dog. Most people don't.
Yeah, that's fair.
Any other questions, feel free to hit us back up.
The other thing that I was just going to suggest is a Mommy and Me group, because I found that it was really helpful, especially in these early days, to meet other moms who were in the same stage of things as I was. And hopefully you'll get, like, a good facilitator who can help you, you know, talk things out. And this also, like, helps you meet other moms and make mom friends.
Good point.
Oh,
sure. I can move this window for you.
Thank you.
There you go.
Okay. All right. This is from Anonymous. Hi, Matt and Dory. I've been listening since our IVF journey began in 2019. Thank you both for being by my side in voice throughout. A couple content warnings. Do we do this for emails? Financial privilege, reproductive privilege of sorts.
When they said invoice, I thought you were, like, invoicing us for the time that we had spent in your head.
Here's my invoice. I know this topic has been addressed before on the podcast, but I would love to hear you and Matt discuss as a neutral party if you are up for it. This scenario creates quite a bit of angst in my mind and has been keeping me up at night. The backstory: after two ectopic pregnancies in 2019, my husband and I began our IVF adventure for my tubal issues. We were fortunate to get three PGS-tested normal embryos. The first is my 2.5-year-old son, and the second is my 7-month-old daughter. I would have never believed this prior to now, but I've developed an emotional attachment to the third embryo, a male. I'm turning 40 in a couple of months. My husband and I are inundated with each of us working full time and raising our two kids. We have both in daycare. We have a babysitter that helps a couple evenings a week, and we are able to outsource some things like cleaning the house to offload us a bit. I'm really struggling with the third embryo and if/when to transfer. A couple other factors to help round out the story. If the third embryo did not exist, I would not be proceeding with any further retrievals. We would be done. My husband seems on the fence about the whole thing. I think he could be swayed either way. I'm good at creating compelling arguments. Lol.
Lawyer.
My husband is the third child in his family, same position that embryo would be. I love being a mom more than I ever imagined. I'm exhausted and a little beat down, but happy. I'm afraid that if we don't transfer this embryo, the thought of what could have been and dreaming of a little boy will haunt me, even though I know that embryo transfers have a significant failure rate and that right now is a collection of cells and not human. Help. Much love from upstate New York, anonymous in 3,400 square feet, two science babies as above, no hot dogs yet, no Costco's around here, boo, one 65-inch TV in family room, one 55-inch TV in primary bedroom.
I mean, a couple thoughts. You're proceeding with this whole internal argument under the guise that it will work.
Mm-hmm.
And
mm-hmm.
this is, you know, your experience has told you that it will because you are two for two, which is fantastic. Mm-hmm. Congratulations. It's amazing.
Mm-hmm.
But you should know that it's not easy to bat 1,000.
No, it's not.
And if you retired at batting 1,000, we'd all understand.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, Ted Williams, the season, he batted 406, last Major League Baseball player to bat over 400. Manager was going to sit him that day, so he'd have his over 400 intact. He was at 402. And he was like, don't sit me. I play ball. He got up there, cranked a few hits, raised it to 406.
Damn.
Could have gone down to 392. We wouldn't be discussing Ted Williams' great season batting 406.
Wow.
Anyway. What does that say about you? A couple things. I think you should prepare yourself for the possibility that that might not work.
Mm-hmm.
But also do it. Because you're just, you know, I don't think you're ever going to get
out of it. Yeah, I think it sounds like you're looking for permission to do it. And you know what?
We are
giving you the permission.
Congratulations. Because you know what's not that hard? A third kid on top of the second. What's hard is like a kid. And then what's a little harder is like a second kid. And then after that, as far as I'm concerned, it's all gravy.
Wow. Like red sauce gravy or like turkey?
Red sauce takes, you know, some of that, like in Goodfellas when they're in prison.
Mm-hmm.
And Paul Sorvino's like cutting the garlic with a razor blade.
Mm.
Anyway, so that's what I would say to you. Sound like you want to. Your husband sounds like if you want to, he'll be okay with it. And you might as well. And then, honestly, the only way you're going to know if it was meant to be, is to transfer it. Because if it doesn't work, then it wasn't meant to be.
Mm-hmm.
And if it does work,
mm-hmm.
there you go.
Mm-hmm.
Que sera, sera.
I agree with this wholeheartedly.
Que sera, sera.
Que sera, sera.
Time for a break.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Okay.
We'll be right back.
BRB.
Dodo, I'm so tired of giving such good advice all the time.
You've been on fire today, I gotta say.
I just, you know, I woke up from my accidental nap.
Yep.
In my chair at my mm-hmm. desk here, and just give it to me. Does anyone else have any questions? I will answer them correctly.
Do we need to like carpe this DM somehow?
Yes, somehow. Let's do it.
Okay. Should we clean the house?
Never go. No, come on.
Okay.
What are you, silly?
You did want to clean out the fridge today.
I did want to clean out the fridge today. Maybe I'll do that before going to Indiana Jones.
Mm. Okay. All right. This is from Dana, who writes, I have many thoughts about being OAD. That would be one and done.
I was like, of a dude? That's really what I thought of first.
First and foremost, people need to decide what is best for them and their family.
How dare you?
And choosing to be one and done needs to be normalized. I cannot emphasize that enough. It's almost unbelievable how incredibly intrusive and rude people are when it comes to family size. 9 times out of 10, people assume you want a second child and get almost offended when you say you don't. These are my personal reasons for being OAD. One, life in the U.S. is so incredibly punishing to families, particularly mothers, and it is getting more unsustainable each day. I could not afford daycare for 2 kids, and I do not want to give up my career to stay at home, nor should those be the options I get boxed into. Good old U.S. of A. 2, I had a painful, exhausting, horribly uncomfortable pregnancy, and I can't imagine it would be easier a second time, especially now that I'm older. 3, I want to thrive, not just survive. Financially, mentally, and probably physically, I would not be living my best life. 4, knowing we will be able to give our kid any and all resources possible gives me great peace of mind. I could make a much longer list, but these are the most important reasons. For anyone who's involuntarily OAD, I hope they can reframe the narrative and realize their child will be just fine without siblings. Anyone who gives them grief for it can shut the hell up unless they're volunteering to carry, birth, help raise, and pay for everything. Fair. Dana, I'm one of 5 kids in Philly, approximately 2,200 square feet with a husband and 3-year-old, no hot dogs, vegetarian, 55-inch TV downstairs, 30-inch in the bedroom that never gets used.
What's up with these ghost TVs, everybody?
Well, we have a ghost TV.
I know. I'm just like pointing it out.
I mean, should we just get rid of that TV?
No.
I guess in case you get COVID again.
Yeah, it's also like I hung it up there. It's mounted on the wall.
It is mounted really nicely, and it has the thing that, like, the wires
are hidden.
Yeah, the wires are hidden.
And you could turn it towards the bed, which is nice.
Yeah, that is nice.
You know?
Maybe I should watch TV in the bedroom more, although I would.
Well, you are often, like, you know, gonna go watch some, you know.
You know what, though?
Single lady solves a murder.
Before we could use that, I have to, like, log into everything on that TV. I don't think anything is logged in on that TV.
Just pull the Apple TV. Anyway.
Fine.
Ghost TVs. They're a problem.
Ghost TVs. Yeah, these are all good reasons, Dana. And I'm glad that you seem very secure and comfortable in your decision. So that's very cool.
But like, are you seriously all done at one?
You don't want to have another one? You sure?
You're weird.
We're joking, obviously. I assume everyone could tell that, but I don't know, just in case. Yeah. Here is the email from Ron, as promised.
Did he move from Karen Crow? Did I make up Karen Crow?
No, you didn't make up Karen Crow. Maybe,
he must now be in Lafayette.
Or maybe Karen Crow is near Lafayette, and let's see. Lafayette. I don't know. This is like...
Well, while you're doing...
Oh, Karen Crow is right outside of Lafayette. So he probably just says Lafayette, like people say, I'm from Boston, and they really mean like Brookline.
Understood. Okay. Here's what Ron said. He had to write in about the article that the listener said about how people are choosing to be one and done, and I have some thoughts. While I probably haven't read this exact article, I've read a couple. You haven't read this exact article. What do you have thoughts on then? I've read a couple of them, and they all seem to focus, as Dory pointed out, on how will I, as a mother, they all seem to be written by women, choose which child I would do things for if there is more than one. And as you and Matt both say, why can't the partner be involved? Just for context, tonight, my 6-year-old has dance from 4:15 to 5, and her 13-year-old brother has dance from 5:10 to 6:50. Her 14-year-old son has a run-through at CYT for their winter session presentation of Grease from 6 to 6:50. Oh, and we need to feed everyone dinner in there somewhere. Whatever would she do? Spoiler alert, the other person who's responsible for the kids is being creative, created in the first place. We'll load up the younger ones and go get the 13-year-old from dance. Dinner will be fast food from somewhere, which, while not the healthiest, is the easiest. Yeah, you might once in a while miss a game, parent night, dance observation for one of the kids to be with the other, but they will understand. They could go on forever with the various reasons they give up. They give, but I don't want to spend the energy on it. Also, lady wanted to know how much money to save before starting to have a family, and it mentioned that it currently costs $310,000 to raise a child. I call bullshit. Well, you're in Louisiana. By that measure, we would have had to have $155,000 a year just to cover our kids' basics, and I'm here to tell you that we do not make that much. Somewhere around half, as a matter of fact, and we still afford a few luxuries like eating out and taking trips. Plus all the streaming machines or services. He didn't call them machines. I did. I would say since the lady and her husband seem to have their finances in a lot better shape than I did at 27, what's the savings and retirement they speak of? LOL. 12 weeks of pay for her to cover anything that may arise in the first year. Maternity leave, assuming she's not paid. Whatever they realistically want to spend on their baby paraphernalia, clothes, furniture, toys, etc. And make sure that their current budget but still allow for childcare, since you can assume that you will be making the same or more by the time the baby is in the picture. We're making about $20-25K a year with no savings at all when our oldest was born almost 19 years ago. She's currently in her own apartment going to community college. She turned out fine. Money helps, but being there and doing your best goes way further setting them up for life, which in my opinion is the ultimate goal. Also, Dory said there's a difference between borrowing trouble and knowing all the info to see where you stand. If she's a planner, she stated in her email, it's better to know now. This is what they are up against and factor into that the savings for when the time comes. Sorry for the rambling. I hope all is going well. Mr. Fire Home, Ron, Lafayette, Louisiana, 1850 square feet, 4-bed, 2.5 bath, 2 adults, 9 kids at home. 1 dog, 3 32-inch TVs in the kids' room, mini projector in the living room, and the master bedroom. Oh, is it a ghost projector? Do you watch anything on it? No real hot dogs, but had 2 Nathan pretzel-wrapped dogs.
Wait, does Ron from Lafayette/Cairncrow, Louisiana, have 10 kids now?
It appears so.
Wow. That's a lot of kids.
I mean, especially if they all start doing part-time jobs. Can you imagine the money he could be bringing in?
Wow. Ron, you should get on TikTok and be one of those big family influencers.
I think you should start everyone with, like, they say it takes $310,000 to raise a kid. I say, look at this. And then, like, this kid's wearing this kid's shirt.
There's some people on TikTok. I've seen someone on TikTok who's like, I'm a mom of 15. Here's how I get school lunches ready. It's like... She just puts like bread over the entire kitchen counter and is like making like an assembly line of herself making sandwiches. Right.
And then you look at it and you're like, you go through a loaf of bread every day. That's crazy.
Like more. Yeah. More. Yeah. Although, you know, we went through a loaf of bread in like 2 days.
We went through one challah loaf. Yeah. I like challah.
Wouldn't he say, I like
challah bread season.
A challah bread season. Oh, he's so funny. Okay. Ron, thank you for this perspective. It's always good to hear from you. I think you are our listener with the most kids.
Congratulations.
Congratulations. If anyone else is out there with more kids than Ron, let us know.
And God bless.
And God bless. Godspeed. Okay. This is from Ellie. Longtime listener who hasn't gone through IVF, but who does have 2 science baby nephews. The pod has been a great way to understand my brother and sister-in-law's experience over the past few years. My own daughter, now almost 2, has something in common with Henry. She is obsessed with clocks. She's not quite big enough to be into time, per se, but between Hickory Dickory Dock YouTube videos and the grandfather clock in the hall at her grandparents' house, she's fallen in love with timepieces. She regularly asks for elephant clock, as in the YouTube videos where a large animal goes up to the clock and it breaks. And the only episode of Sesame Street she will tolerate thus far is one where they have to fix Cinderella's broken clock. Here's my question. What is other clock-based entertainment we can be using to hold your attention? As the repeated Hickory Dickory Dock videos
are rotting our brains. Bless you. She says, this past weekend, I searched Disney Plus and found a short about a plucky little mantle clock that saves the brethren from a robbery at the clock store. It was a big hit. What else is out there? Any suggestions for clock-related videos, games, toys, etc. for a two-year-old? Putting out the kid clock signal, I guess. That's cheers from Ellie. 1,600 square feet, Columbus, Ohio. Two adults, two-year-old, two black cats, no hot dogs this year, two TVs. One like the 50-inch, I think, and the second one is in the basement, and that's around 30. Maybe the basement's the ghost TV.
There are some toys you can get. There are some like interactive learning clocks. Melissa and Doug makes one. Looks like Fat Brain Toys makes one.
Henry Adamoni really liked that he's torn apart.
Yep, that is also true. So you could get her one of those.
I asked Henry what 6 + 6 was today.
Uh-huh.
And he's like, let me go to the register and figure that out. And he goes, 12. I hear a little beep, beep, beep.
Henry, he's been waking up earlier than he had been. And so
this is the Yodo's fault, as far as I'm concerned, but continue.
And so I've taken to playing some con kids games with him sometimes before school, because I'm like, I just gotta fill up some time, and I don't want to, like, he watches so much TV on the weekends, and I'm like, during the week, let's just like take it down a notch.
Whatever. I think TV's great.
I didn't say TV wasn't great. I'm just saying
it's great.
Taking it down a notch. Anyway, the Con Kids app has some time stuff. It might be a little advanced for her still, but you could check that out. And then I don't know of other clock content, but there must be some out there.
I mean, Beating the Beast, there's, you know, there's a clock. There's a clock. Lumiere's friend, the clock, that I can't think of the name of. There you go.
Okay.
That's all I got.
I'm throwing out the clock signal.
Clock signal's out.
All right. Monica writes in to say, your recent trip to Austin inspired me to write in looking for advice on air travel with kids. We are flying from Detroit to Cancun at the end of the month with our 5-year-old and almost 4-year-old. It's their first time flying. My biggest source of anxiety for this whole trip is preventing/managing ear popping for them on the flight.
This was never a problem for Henry.
Do you or any of the eggheads have any tips or tricks to share? I've read everything on Google, from giving Motrin 30 minutes before to gum/mint/suckers, etc. Your conversation regarding Colleen's email about how much to save up for kids, especially science babies, made me laugh a little, because just this past weekend, our 5-year-old science baby became obsessed with, quote, doing chores, actual productive help, sweeping, doing dishes, etc. I made the comment to my husband that she's finally working off her debt. She cost well over $100,000, 5 rounds of IVF, then 2 cycles with donor eggs. I stopped keeping track at some point, but was obviously worth every penny. We affectionately referred to her miracle baby sister, I hate that term, who was born 14 months ago as buy one, get one.
14 months later.
As BOGO, buy one, get one. When I was pregnant, at that point, all we could do was laugh. Monica in 1,400 square feet in the Detroit suburbs, 3 TVs, 65 inch in the living room, 2 40-somethings basement and bedroom, 0 hot dogs in 2023, but looking forward to having many at some Tigers games this summer.
Nice.
I don't remember this being an issue except when Henry was very, very, very small, like a baby.
But also, like, we had chalked it up to that, but that might not have been what was happening.
Yeah, also true. So
do their ears pop like when you change elevation, like when you're driving in Michigan?
Yeah, is this a big,
because if it is, then they know what it is,
right?
And they should understand what's happening.
Yeah,
right. And if it's not something that happens when you're changing elevation driving around, then
yeah,
you probably don't have to worry about it in the plane.
I think if
I can't even tell you the last time my ears popped on a plane.
I can't either. It has not been an issue for
me. Maybe it's just we're old. doesn't happen. But my travel advice to you regarding the other than that is just, you know, load up a couple of tablets and let them watch whatever they feel like watching.
Just make sure it is all downloaded before you get on the plane.
Correct. Henry tried to throw some curveballs at me, but I was like, I got it. Garbage trucks, no problem.
He was like, damn it.
Mickey Clubhouse, which he hadn't watched in months. I was like, no problem.
Wow.
Yeah, I had it all.
He really tried to get you.
He did.
All right. This is from... actually, this is a text. I had to pause the pod near the end when Matt got all excited about second fridges. My friend and I were just talking about this. We saw on social media that a garage fridge was described as very middle class, and we both thought it was ritzy, too. Most people in Texas with second fridges have them for storing hunting meat or beer.
This is true.
Chelsea in North Dallas, 2,000 square feet with 2 20-pound mutts. One just hit 28 pounds.
Nice.
Two adults, no hot dogs, 48-inch TV in living room, 22-inch in guest bedroom. Boyfriend has three gaming monitors that probably equal 60 inches. Thanks,
I like,
y'all.
I like a combined total for gaming monitors.
Yeah.
Yeah, as far as I'm concerned, like, especially those chest fridges, mm-hmm. like the ones that like the chest freezers.
Yep.
Those are great to have for hunting meat too, but yeah, I always thought of them as, you know, hoity toity.
Mm.
Oh, look at me. I keep more food cold than you.
All right. Tori writes, I had to send you the link below to the hilarious Matt Berry as Toast reading a segment of Prince Harry's book. It made me cackle on a day that I really needed a laugh.
That sounds very funny.
My penis was oscillating between extremely sensitive and borderline traumatized. I have been trying some home remedies, including one recommended by a friend. She had urged me to apply Elizabeth Arden cream. My mummy used that on her lips. You want me to use that on my tudgy? It works, Harry. Trust me. I had found a tube. And the minute I opened...
Did he really narrate it? That's amazing.
No. This is all fake. This is made up.
This is not
the real book.
I'm so sad. I don't remember that. Is that from his book, Toast on Toast?
No, but there's
a part in the Harry book about when his penis got frostbite.
Yes.
So I think that's what this is riffing off of.
Okay, but what I'm asking is, who got Matt Berry to read it?
I feel like Matt Berry just did it.
I see.
To be funny.
Gotcha. This is Ben Kearns doing an impression of Matt Berry.
Oh.
That's fucking phenomenal impression.
Who's Ben Kearns?
This is a voice actor, Ben Kearns, amassing over 75,000 followers on TikTok through his impressions, which range from Matt Berry.
Oh, an impression of Matt Berry character Stephen Toast narrating Prince Harry's memoir. Ah, I see. That is a very good impression.
Content-wise, that is the memoir.
That is whose memoir?
That is Prince Harry's memoir. He's reading it as...
No, I don't think it is.
How do you know that?
Because I'm reading it.
We haven't gotten to this part yet?
No.
This is chapter 43. How do you know?
Okay.
Get to chapter 43 and let me know.
Okay, I will.
Good God. What I'm saying is he probably didn't write the jokes, but... just read it as Toast. That's my guess.
Maybe it is.
The last place I wanted to be was Frostnipistan. I'd been trying some home remedies, including one recommended by a friend. She'd urged me to apply Elizabeth Arden cream.
See? I knew it.
My penis was oscillating between extremely sensitive and borderline traumatized. I had been trying some home remedies, including one recommended by a friend. She had urged me to apply Elizabeth Arden cream. My mummy used that on her lips.
My mum used that on her lips. You want me to put that on my todger?
You want me to use that on my touch?
Oh, gosh. Wow. No, I've not gotten to that part yet.
That's like, you know, I'm proud of myself for understanding someone's abilities.
Mm.
And I'm like, no, he's an incredibly gifted impressionist and voice actor, but he did not waste time writing that
right.
drivel.
Sure. All right. Well, Tori continues to say, to my second item of business, I've been listening to people detail their TV stats for months now, and I'm genuinely surprised. Surprised that some people don't have TVs and that some are so small. I come from a TV family. Growing up, we would set multiple VCRs.
Me too.
Yes, VCRs, to catch all the shows we loved. Heaven help us if we accidentally recorded over something or didn't properly label a tape. I called my mom 2 days ago and asked what she was up to, and she literally replied, looking at the TV guide. To be fair, I didn't know TV guides were a thing anymore, and my husband and I gave up cable years ago, but that hasn't stopped our love of quality programming. My husband and I love watching various shows, movies, or YouTube videos together. Neither of us could tolerate doing such from a laptop or tablet. Content that's being made these days is just too high quality to not watch on a nice TV. Listeners of the podcast, treat yourself to an excellent viewing experience. Thank you for the pod. And that is from Tori in the Northwest Chicago suburbs in a 2,300 square foot house with my husband and dog. No hot dogs this year. We have four TVs, 65-inch OLED in the basement connected to my husband's PlayStation and Xbox, 75-inch in the living room that honestly could be bigger, a 55-inch in our bedroom that doesn't get used often but really came in handy when I had COVID. Wow.
Nice.
Are you us, Tori? And was quarantined in there, and a 50-inch in our guest room.
Thank you.
I feel like you and Tori are like simpatico.
Well, thanks for sharing that, Tori. That was a good laugh.
All right. One last email from Anonymous, who was the person who wrote in about Burlington and Portland. Mm-hmm. And they have a follow-up, which is, we have two kids, a 3.5-year-old and an 8-month-old. I wonder which place would be more family-friendly. Does anyone have an opinion about local public and private schools? We are specifically interested in Waldorf-like schools. I'm also curious how diverse and cosmopolitan these places are. I'm originally from Poland. I do not expect to have a Polish kielbasa readily available, but it would be nice to live in a place with some diversity. Thanks so much, Anonymous.
You can get Polish kielbasa at Market Basket, so don't worry.
Maine is the whitest state in the country.
Even the moose are white.
Which, you know, just is an objective statistic. So it's not the most diverse. It's not the most diverse place, but I imagine if anywhere in Maine is diverse, it would be Portland.
Sure.
And then I don't think Vermont is especially diverse either, but I guess it's more diverse than Maine, because Maine is the whitest.
But are you looking for diversity or a Polish population?
I mean, that's also a good question. All right. Well, just that's been another follow-up about Portland.
The diversity signals out.
And Burlington.
The Portland, Maine diversity signal has gone out.
All right. And just a reminder, you can support us on Patreon. Get up to 2 bonus episodes per month at patreon.com/excellentadventure. And also, you get your name read on the podcast each month at the $5 level or above. So thank you to the following supporters.
Patty Curry.
Paul Sharp.
Paula.
Rebecca Posey.
Robert Hamilton.
Robin Kay.
Sadie Massa.
Sarah Dauberman. Sarah Schlageter.
Sarah Friedman.
Sarah L.
Sarah Lavelle.
Sarah Swift.
Scarlett Kaufman.
Sherry Olson.
Simone Vandewinkel.
SJV.
Vandewinkel, I'll say. Stephanie Genevieve.
Stephanie S.
Stephen Harcourt.
Susan Gross.
Tanya Lamos.
Tanya K.
The Holderman Clan.
The Kempels.
Tracy Jury.
Valerie Green.
Vanessa Ferguson.
Virginia McFeely.
Whitney Hoffman.
Anonymous.
Aurora and Zelda.
Ainsley.
CJ.
Crescent Martin.
Danielle Lujafuro.
Deanna McLean.
Eleanor Powell.
Elizabeth Brandt.
Elizabeth K.
Elizabeth Kamani.
Emily Harden.
Aaron Alana.
Heidi Phelps.
Jane Ennis.
And Jen Brennan. Thank you so much for supporting us. Thank you for listening. And we'll see you next week.
Bye.
Bye.